This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Tony Bukert.
Well, hello there, friends, and welcome to another Armor of God program. You know, as I begin today's program, I'm reminded of the famous playwright, William Shakespeare, and some of the comments that he made regarding today's topic of love. Now, I can remember back in the days, roughly middle school, 7th grade, 8th grade, you know, somewhere thereabouts, because as time goes on, my memory gets a little bit foggy. But during that time, we had teachers that tried to teach us or to instill in us to the appreciation of William Shakespeare and some of his writings, and I would have nothing to do with it. But here as of late, I've kind of picked it back up again, some of his writings and reading them, and I've really begun to appreciate the style in which he wrote, the way that he commanded the English language, and the poetic style that he had that so rightfully expresses some of the things that I personally find it hard to express. Love is a hard thing to express. What did William Shakespeare say about this thing called love? Well, he said a lot. But for today's program, I've got a couple quotes here that are just very pertinent to what we want to talk about today. Back in the 1600s, William Shakespeare wrote a play called All's Well That Ends Well. It's based on a proverb that basically states that no matter what happens in life, as long as the outcome is good, then everything is okay. And in his play, All's Well That Ends Well, this is what he said about this topic of love. He wrote this: love all, trust a few, do wrong to none, but love that comes too late, like a remorseful pardon slowly carried, to the great sender turns a sour offense. I tell you, this guy had a way of saying things, did he not? And he so rightfully, in such this manner that he had, encapsulates this thing called rejection and how it relates to the topic of love. Now, in our modern day language, in the way that we speak, in the way that we use the term love, it has taken on more of an abstract concept than anything else, the way that we use it. And I'll get to the specifics of that just a little bit later. However, there are some words that we can associate with this word love that are synonymous with it. It is affection. It is care. It means loyalty. And specifically for the Christian, and as the Bible reveals it to us, we can boil it down to one essential word, really. And as the scriptures are here before us, we can prove what the Bible's saying about this thing called love. You know what it really boils down to for you and I? For those of us who are trying to discover this thing called love and try to figure out exactly what it is? It simply means to show concern for someone else. So how do we show concern for God? How do we show concern for our fellow man? You know, words are really, that's just it. They're just words. And without the actions to demonstrate or to back up the words, really, we're just left to this concept of an abstract notion of what love really is. I mean, oftentimes the question is posed, and I'm going to pose it now, and the question is this: how do we know that we're loved? How does someone know that we love them? Well, just looking at the example of a husband and wife, a husband and wife knows that they love each other. How? Well, because they're there in the good times, they're there in the bad times, they stick by each other's side. Perhaps a husband will show some affection for his wife and bring her flowers on the way home from work. Maybe she buys him something that he's wanted, you know, just whatever the case may be, or however they choose to demonstrate their love for one another. The point is that love is demonstrated. And as you might imagine, with us bringing you biblical principles and concepts, Jesus had a lot of things to say, just like William Shakespeare did, on this topic of love. However, I'm going to interrupt myself before we get into what Jesus said and I'm going to bring your attention to two items that we want to make available to you today on today's offering. What we have available to you today are two items. The first one is a booklet that is simply titled, Does God Love the World Enough to Save It? And really, is there any greater example of love than what God has shown towards us, even when we didn't deserve it? Think about this. God sent His Son, an innocent Son, down on this earth to suffer and bleed and die for our sins, and He demonstrated His love to us that in that we are still sinners, He still demonstrated that love through His sacrifice. And God has a very fond affection for the world. Maybe not what the world is doing right now, some of the actions, but He loves the world enough to save it. And if you get this booklet, you're going to see how God has demonstrated and proves that to us. The second item that I'd like to make available to you today is a CD titled 10 Simple Rules. That is a question that Christianity ponders quite often. It surrounds the Ten Commandments. And that is, are they pertinent for us today? And if they are pertinent, and if they are for us today, what do they teach us? What can we learn from them? And is God trying to express something to us through His Ten Commandments called love? If you want to take advantage of the offering that we have today, these two items, pick up the phone and dial 888-578-8791. Again, that's 888-578-8791. Or if you prefer to use the web, visit us at www.cgi.org. And if you have any questions regarding today's topic or any other programs that we've done, simply write us at info@cgi.org. And while you're there, you might want to be aware that we have a weekly webcast that appears every Saturday. Now, the times are going to be listed on the web, so if you want to take advantage of that too, simply look up the times as they'll be listed on the web. Now, before I interrupted myself and got to today's literature, we were talking about William Shakespeare and this concept of love and what he had to say about it. And right after that, we were discussing what Jesus has to say about it, if anything. Well, over here in Luke chapter 6, Jesus did say a lot of things about this topic of love. In Luke chapter 6, I'm just going to go over a few short verses here. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 through 49 here, just the last part of the book of Luke chapter 6. Here's what he said. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things in which I say? In other words, Jesus has some expectations from us or for us. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But, in contrast here, he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now this tells me, when I read the scriptures, that Jesus had some things to say. And if he had some things to say, it's important that we listen to what he says, because it's good for us. If we follow what he says, if we do the things that he says to do, then we're going to be like this man who built this house on a rock, on a solid foundation. And when the waters and the turbulent times of life come, that we are going to stand firm and solid in our Savior Jesus Christ, because these are his promises to us. In other words, there are benefits to us to keep God's word, to keep what Christ says to do. There are benefits to us. Furthermore, he said this. Let's just go back here. To the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12. Actually, let's go to Matthew first. Matthew chapter 22, because what Jesus said here is quite relevant to today's program, what he said about this topic of love. And we're just going to begin here in verse 35. And we'll just go down here through verse 40. Let's just go through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asking him a question, testing him, saying, no, notice that almost always when the Pharisees or the Sadducees or whoever was in charge during that time, one of the sects that arose during this time, it's almost always to challenge his authority, to get him to trip up and get him to say something wrong. Just like that loose brick theory, if you can find one thing wrong with what he says, then the whole foundation falls and you can discredit him. But as he always does, he has an answer for every question that is posed to him. And how he answers this is quite relevant to today's topic, as we'll see. Then one of them, teacher, verse 36, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. And while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, why do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said, the son of David. And of course, in relationship or in regard to this thing called law and the Ten Commandments, did Jesus, by way of question here reading the scriptures, did Jesus miss an opportunity? Did Jesus miss an opportunity to say, oh, those Ten Commandments, well, here I am now, I'm on the scene, they're irrelevant, they're of no use anymore? Or did he do just the exact opposite? Well, I think there's another scripture that we can turn to, the sister chapter of Matthew 22, to really show the expression of what's behind Jesus' words here. So let's turn over to Mark chapter 12, the sister chapter. Each one of these gospel writers here, you have to understand, don't always record the words in exact style as the other one does, because remember, they're coming at this from a different perspective, from a different viewpoint oftentimes. And the book of Mark here adds a little bit different component to what Jesus said that really helps us to understand the importance of keeping the commandments and what they teach us from God's perspective, not just ours, but from God's perspective. And by the way, just by way of thinking here, as we've gone over these scriptures, what is wrong with loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength? There's anything wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with that. And what's wrong with loving your neighbor as yourself, or treating them the way that you would want to be treated? Can anybody find fault with those two premises right there? I don't think we can find fault with that. They're good things to follow. But again, following up with the book of Matthew, in verse 29... and we'll just go down through here through 34, just a few short verses. Jesus answered him. Oh, actually, let's go back to verse 28 here because it sets the context. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now, first of all, in today's era, we have to admit that there's a lot of things that preoccupy our time. There's a lot of things, in other words, that challenge the Christian, or those who are searching for the truth and trying to do their best to please God. There's a lot of challenges posed before us that hinder us, put a stumbling block in front of us, as some people would put it, to keep us from honoring our Creator. Now, I'm a dad, I'm a father of four, and believe me, I understand exactly how busy life gets. It gets busy. You got track practice, you got band, you've got football practices, and then you've got all these different activities with school, and really it's hard to find time sometimes. So what Jesus is saying is to prioritize this, and this is how we love God, by prioritizing our time and putting Him first, even maybe going to church on a Sabbath day or Saturday and doing what He says to do is the way that we do that. But there are some challenges, and I want to admit that sometimes we get ourselves too busy and we forget God, in other words. And he continues down here. And the second is like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all of the understanding, with all of the soul, and with all of the strength, and to love one neighbor as oneself is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, oftentimes, as we read back there in the book of Matthew, when Jesus made the statement, on these two laws hang all the prophets, right? Remember that? Hang all the law and the prophets. These two summary commandments, love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your might. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, on these two laws, right? Oftentimes people, when Jesus says these hang off of this, these two basic principles of the law, oftentimes they get this notion in their minds. They get this Slipknot noose image. In other words, that he literally meant they hang or they're dead or they're destined to die now that I've arrived. But that's not really what he was talking about. He was simply meaning that if you took these two summary commandments as what they are, you shall love the Lord with God, your Lord God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. And if you were to take this principle or this summary law and nail it to the wall, and right beside it you would take another plaque of you shall love your neighbors yourself, and you would nail that on the wall. And you would simply take two strings and hang them down from each one. And then you would take, say, I don't know, the book of Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy chapter 5 and turn to the Ten Commandments. You would see that the first four commandments teach us how we should love the Lord our God with all of our strength, with all of our soul, with all of our might. And that's what he meant by that. The other one, the other last six, you would hang off of the second principle, or the second summary commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. You should not steal. You should not commit adultery. And you can take time to look at that in Exodus chapter 20. He didn't mean that he was going to do away with them, because if he was going to do away with them, you know, he would be removing from us the way in which he teaches us how to love God and how to love our fellow man. And that was never in the picture. Now, one thing I've always asked myself when it comes to God's law, and specifically the Ten Commandments, It's a question that I've asked many, many times, is if God is going to create commandments for us to keep, why would he create something just to do away with it? That would be confusion. And the Bible tells us that God, there's no variance nor shadow of turning in him. He's the same today and yesterday and forever, that he is the same one. It was Jesus Christ who actually wrote the Ten Commandments and gave them to Moses, so to speak. Okay? However, with that being said, with these Ten Commandments, they do pose some challenges to us as we do our best to demonstrate this thing called love, because really, in this world, we don't always see the best in people, okay? Oftentimes, people show us the worst side of humanity, and to show our fellow man love can be a challenge, especially when you consider the things that are put in front of us every day in the news media. Some of the worst examples that we see of people, quite frankly, are displayed on the news, and it seems to make the news more than the good does, right? Well, mankind isn't completely bad, as some of us would have us believe. Mankind does not suffer from total depravity. There's still some good in mankind. We have all these wonderful examples of people helping out their fellow man during tragedies. They volunteer their time. They help each other out. So mankind isn't completely depraved, so to speak. All right, but when it comes to us showing affection for our fellow man, it can be difficult. I mean, I find it easy to show my love for God, because he has demonstrated to me a kind of love that is unquestionable when he sent his son to die for me for my sins. Mankind is a different story, because mankind sometimes, well, they don't always treat us by the golden rule. You know, you shall treat others as you would want to be treated, so to speak. And it can really cause us some hardship in doing this. You know, you turn on the TV and what do you see? Well, you see some of the examples that you can remember several years back. There was this Columbine shooting. These two kids who were bullied in school kept record of offenses, decided to retaliate, slaughtering murderously in a demonic demonstration of the worst side of humanity. Well, I can't help to think how things would have been different if somebody would have taught them God's law and how to love their fellow man. I mean, everybody gets bullied, But what if parents were to teach their kids to respect people and not to bully? I'm not justifying here what was done, because those two individuals committed a heinous crime. I'm just saying that we could alleviate all these problems by just teaching God's law. You know, you have this latest incident of this retired police officer losing patience with another patron of the movie theater. And as they're watching the introductions to the movies and the advertisements for the other movies, not even the movie itself, but we're watching they're watching the introductions here, and one guy is playing with his cell phone, and the retired police officer, 70 years old, gets so aggravated that an argument erupts. It ends up in him getting so mad that he shoots the man and kills him in cold blood. It seems like people are losing their patience with each other nowadays. I hope it's not just me. I mean, you drive down the highway, all these examples of road rages and how people can sometimes wrong us. They cut us off. They give us hand gestures that aren't Christian. And they're not afraid to let us know when we've made them mad. And it's hard sometimes. It challenges us not to retaliate in such a like manner. It does pose us some challenges. So, some very pertinent advice on how we can overcome some of these challenges that are posed to us and how we can maintain showing our love for God and mankind are given to us in the Scriptures. And I want to give us some of that advice that God gives us from the Scriptures to show us exactly how we overcome those challenges. Because we do run the risk, friends, that if we take all these offenses to heart, that it could turn us bitter. I mean, there's a lot of things out there in the world today that can make us bitter. So how do we not allow these things to impact us, affect us, to change us in a way that we don't keep God's commandment? Well, oftentimes we speak in principle. Principles oftentimes is harder in practice than it is in words. I think one of the things that we ought to consider is who and what we are, our nature, and how sometimes we act, especially if we're a Christian, how we acted in our pre-Christian life, you know, to kind of give people a pass sometimes and not to retaliate in like manner. Because really when we retaliate in like manner, we shed a bad shadow, cast a bad shadow on God and Christianity in general. I think we need to consider some of our former conduct and to consider the love that God has shown us. We need to reciprocate that to our fellow man, as hard as it is. In Romans chapter 5 here, there is a scripture that reminds us of the love that God demonstrated to us, even when we weren't reciprocating it back to Him. And it is a challenge, I admit. It really is hard. Romans chapter 5. I was back in John, so let me get in the right scriptures here. In verse 1 of Romans chapter 5, and we'll just go on down through, let's go through verse 8. Let's end at verse 8 here. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character. You know what the Ten Commandments teach us? It teaches us godly character and godly love. That's really what they teach us and how to demonstrate that. Now, hope does not disappoint, in verse 5, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. How? Well, because He just told us it was, or is there some action behind this? For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sometimes it takes us no longer of a journey than looking at our past to remind us of how we ought to treat people, because we have received a treatment and a love from God that we didn't deserve. And even though it is a challenge to give it to people that we don't want to sometimes because of the wrongs that they give us, we are commanded to do just that. So how can we overcome? How can we ensure that we don't fall into this trap of demonstrating things other than love? Well, I think we don't have to go any further than considering Jesus Christ and what he suffered in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who was for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You know, no one suffered like Christ. Nobody in this world has ever taken on the scourgings, the beatings, the insults, the slaps, and the spitting like he did. And how did he respond? Well, he responded by giving his life for mankind. And that's a demonstrative love that is hard to come by. It's hard for us to understand, but yet we are recipients of it. So it takes us no further than to look at Jesus Christ, to consider what he did. Because if we don't consider what Jesus did, we ourselves can become so bitter and so disgruntled with life and with our fellow man that we can forget that God commands us through his commandments to love them. Well, friends, before we leave today, let me bring your attention once again to the items of offerings that we have for you. The items that we have available for you, once again, is a booklet entitled, Does God Love the World Enough to Save It? And the CD, 10 Simple Rules. If you'd like to take advantage of these offerings, please dial 888-578-8791. Visit us on the web at www.cgi.org. And if you have any questions, remember, you can always contact us at info@cgi.org. And don't forget that weekly telecast on Saturdays. Well, friends, until next time, you remember to put on that armor so we can be able to stand in this evil day. We'll see you next time.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.